Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series I started talking about financial stewardship. I think it was 5 or 6 weeks ago I started this. We're now at the conclusion of this series. I have a 6-part teaching on this entitled Financial Stewardship. This last teaching is entitled Your Partnership in the Kingdom. And I started that yesterday, and I'm going to continue it today. We are talking now about giving and how important it is to give if you want to see prosperity come to pass in your life. Again, I want to point this out. I wish people would just pick this up on their own, but I think that sometimes I have to help people connect the dots. But the majority of teaching on finances will begin with giving and talk about you give and then God will do all of this. I started my teaching with exactly the opposite, talking about the motives, why God wants to prosper you, that this is the least area of trusting God. And I have come to the conclusion of this series on financial stewardship, and we're just now really beginning to talk about giving. Now, of course, I've mentioned it throughout this entire series, but I've reversed the order because I believe that, first of all, you have to deal with the heart issues. You have to give with the right heart, understanding that prosperity isn't really selfish. Biblical prosperity isn't selfish. It is so that you can prosper, so that you could be a blessing to other people. That is the real attitude. It's a life of living to give, not giving to live. It's all about the emphasis. It is true that when you give, it comes back unto you and you increase. And I believe that with all of my heart. But I don't give to get. I give and realize that I need to get, I need to receive so that I can increase and be even a bigger giver. But the emphasis is on the giving, not on the getting. And so that's the reason that I've put this teaching about how important it is to give at the end of this teaching on financial stewardship. Yesterday, I used the verses out of Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 5 and 6 are very familiar passages where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And people take those verses and talk about trusting God and seeking God's leadership and guidance, but then they disconnect that from verse 9, which says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase," which is talking about tithing, giving. And people disconnect that. And there's people that say, "Oh, I'm trusting God." And yet, in the area of finances, they'll say, "But I just don't have the money. I can't give. I can't tithe. I can't give in offerings. But, oh, I'm trusting God." This is all connected. It's arbitrary. It's actually an ungodly principle to just disconnect these verses and not realize that if you say you're trusting the Lord, you need to trust Him in every area of your life. Not only with your marriage or your health or with wisdom or direction or something like this, but you need to trust Him in your finances. He needs to be the source of everything you do. And notice in verse 9, it says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase." First fruits means the very first thing you do. Again, there's some people that the way that they give is they will take care of all of their needs, all of their payments, all of their food, everything they want to do. And if there is something left over, then they will give to the Lord. The Lord says it should be a first fruit. The very first thing you should do anytime you get any money is set aside money to give. You ought to honor the Lord with the first fruits. And notice that it says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase." If you are not giving the very first thing to the Lord, you are not honoring God. And I know that there's people that get upset at that, and there's people that say, "You're condemning me." I'm not condemning you. I'm trying to remove a deception that has been over a lot of people, and they departmentalize their life and think, "Well, oh, I'm serving God and I'm trusting God, but then when it comes to finances, I just don't have them." You know, this is the reason that the Lord didn't tell you to give a certain amount. He didn't say, thus saith the Lord, every person must give $1,000 or $10,000 a year or whatever. He didn't put an amount on it. He put a percentage on it so that every person can do this. If all you've got is a dollar, you can give a dime. If you have $10, you can give $1. It doesn't matter who you are. Every person watching this program, if you are watching me on television or if you're watching this on our internet site, did you know what it had to have? You had to have money to be able to buy a television, to have pay for the service, to have an internet connection or whatever. You have money. There is not a single person watching me say this that does not have money. You may not have a lot of money compared to somebody else, but the Lord didn't tell you to give a certain amount. That's the reason He used percentages. There isn't a single person that can just say that I don't have any money. You've got money. And you need to honor the Lord with the very first thing. The moment you get any money, the first thing you ought to do is set aside a minimum of 10% and give. I know that there's some of you that think this is just totally unreasonable. I'm telling you what Scripture says. You honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase. You honor the Lord when you do that. There is no reason to do this outside of God. To the natural mind, it says in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. If you are not operating in faith, it makes zero sense to take a portion of what you've got and give it away. Especially those of you who are in need. It looks like, well, I'm moving away from my needs. If you don't have enough money to feed your family, then to take a portion, 10% of what you've got and give it away, it doesn't make sense. And it wouldn't make sense if there wasn't a God who is promised. Like right here, it says in verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. And the next verse says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. See, without God, you just think, well, I've only got so much, and if I take some of it and give it away, I'm even going to have less. How am I ever going to have my needs met? But every time that the Lord talks about giving, honoring the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase, then He'll turn right around and He says, so shall your barns be filled with plenty and your presses shall burst out with new wine. The way we would say that in our day is that that's how your bank account gets full. That's how you get in the black instead of in the red. This is how you wind up having a savings account, is not by hoarding, not by keeping everything, but instead by taking a portion of what you've got and trusting God with it and giving. It becomes a seed. You know, just like you could take a little kernel of corn and one seed of corn is not going to stop starvation in your life if you eat it. But did you know what? If you sow that kernel of corn, well, then it produces a stalk, and most stalks have 3 ears of corn on it, and each ear has somewhere around 700 kernels of corn. So you can either eat that kernel of corn or you can sow it and produce around 2,100 kernels of corn. Man, that's powerful. And see, it's the same thing with money. Most people don't see money that way, but that's the reason that the Bible likens giving unto seed. And it does this in many places. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, it does it a lot. But one of the reasons it likens it to a seed is because seeds, you can eat them and you can get strength and sustenance from them, but also you've got to have enough wisdom to take a portion of those seeds and not eat them, even if you're hungry. If you eat all of your seeds, you are killing yourself in the future. But if you will take a portion of those seeds and sow them, you will reap 100-fold or 200 or whatever off of that, and that will allow you to eat in the future. But most people are short-term thinkers. They don't see this. Most people, to the natural mind, the things of the Spirit of God are foolishness, and most people will look at this as, but I'm struggling. I don't have enough money, so I need to keep everything I can. But it says here, you honor the Lord with the first fruits, with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase. That's what caused your barns to be filled with plenty and your presses to burst out with new wine. That's what causes the abundance. I know that there's people all over the world right now that you're listening to me and you're hearing what I'm saying, but you're saying this does not make sense. It doesn't make sense to your natural mind, but I am promising you, the Word of God promises you that this is how you reach abundance, is by giving. Or another way you could say it is, it's by trusting God. That's really what it boils down to. The reason that the Lord asked you to give is not because He needs your money. You need to trust Him. Look at this passage over in Psalms chapter 50. This is really powerful. And he said in Psalms chapter 50, verse 8, he said, I will not, this is God speaking through the psalmist, and he said, I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. Now I'm reading out of the King James, and this is a little wordy, it's a little awkward, but if you study this, and if you look it up in other translations, you'll find out that this is what he's saying. Basically, he's saying, look, my gripe with you isn't the fact that you've had sacrifices or offerings, that you haven't been doing them. Because these people, every morning and every night, they had the morning and the evening sacrifice. There was constantly, they were going through the rituals. They were doing what God said. But he says, this isn't my gripe with you. You're going through the motions, but your heart's wrong. You've missed the purpose of all of these sacrifices. And in these next verses, he begins to reveal to them what the issue was, what he was displeased with them over. It wasn't the fact that they weren't giving, that they weren't doing this, but they had missed the reason behind it. And so he says in verse 9, he says, I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. In other words, the Lord is saying, look, why did I even want you to give these sacrifices? Is it because I was hungry? He goes on and says these things. In verse 11, he says, I know all of the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Here's what he was saying in these verses. He says, my gripe with you isn't the fact that you aren't doing these things. You are going through the rituals, but you've missed the purpose. Why did I ask you to offer sacrifices? Is it because I was hungry? Is it because I needed something? He says, I'm not going to eat the flesh of these bulls. He says, I own the cattle on all a thousand hills. Plus, you could say that he owns all of the hills. Everything is God. If he needed something, he wouldn't ask us. God did not ask people under the old covenant to offer sacrifices because he needed their sacrifices. But no, they needed to see that because of their sin, every sin was punishable by death. Somebody, something had to die. And rather than God killing us individually because of his love for us, he allowed us to substitute a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice. And every time they offered these sacrifices, it was supposed to be a reminder to them. It was for their benefit to remind them that, you know what, I am dependent upon the mercy of God. There is coming a lamb that is going to die for my sins and pay for my sins. And it was a constant reminder to them. It was supposed to be something that kept them in faith and dependent upon God, recognizing that I've sinned against you and I need a blood sacrifice to atone for this. And that was the purpose of it. And yet they had missed it and it had just become a ritual and they were thinking that they didn't need God, that they were okay, and they had missed the purpose. Well, likewise, when it comes to giving, why is it that God told you to give 10%? It's not because God needs your 10%. God is not poor. God owns everything. If he was in trouble, he wouldn't come to you and ask you to give. Now, again, I have to qualify this and say that the ministers of God, to a large degree, probably a majority, at least a large segment of ministers, I think have misrepresented giving. And they, in a sense, beg for your money and say, please, we can't do this without you. And they play on your emotions and they present it like God is desperate and we just, you know, the kingdom of God's going to fall apart if you don't give. And sad to say, I hate to say it, but there's a lot of people who present it that way. And that's wrong. But if you do it scripturally, God doesn't need your money. You need to trust God. And that's why God set up this whole thing about you giving is because you need to trust God. Matter of fact, the person who says, but I need this money. I can't make it if I was to take a portion of what I've got and give it away. You are the person that needs to trust God the most. You are the person that needs to give the most because you are in the most dire situation. You need to trust God. And it's one thing for you to say, I'm trusting God, but you got to prove it. Faith without works is dead, is what James chapter 2 says. You got to act in faith. You know, there was actually a friend of mine, a person that I've known for decades. And I used to minister to them 20 or 30 years ago on a real personal level when we were smaller. And I would go places and I'd spend time with this woman and talk to her. Well, she came to me not too many years ago. And she was just talking about, man, I just don't understand. Everything is falling apart. I'm not making payments on my house. My car is about to be repossessed. Everything's falling apart. And this woman loves God. She's a very good woman. She's a godly woman. But, you know, as she was telling me about how she was trusting God and she just couldn't understand what was going on, I assumed that she had been giving and trusting God, but I just felt impressed of the Lord, and I stopped her and I said, so are you still tithing and giving? And she says, well, when I had these things happen, I quit my giving. I just didn't have it to give. And she says, but I'm really trusting God. I want to. And I said, look, you can say what you want to. And this was a friend of mine. I know that this, you know, is going to rub some of you the wrong way, but I'm not saying this to hurt you. I'm saying it because it's the truth. You can say what you want to. You can say you're trusting God. But if you aren't giving a minimum of a tithe, you aren't trusting God. You may want to trust God. You may wish you could trust God, but you aren't trusting God. God's not mad at you. I'm not mad at you, but I'm saying you're deceived. Again, I go back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. You honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase. And if you aren't doing that, you are not honoring God. And I know some of you think, well, I don't see it that way. I honor God and I would give, but I just can't afford to do this. Well, let me say it this way. If you were here and I was talking to you face to face, if you were here in person, and if I promised you that any person who gives me something, I'll give you 100 times back, which this is exactly what God said in Mark chapter 10. It says, no man. Matter of fact, I probably ought to turn over there because I won't be able to quote this exactly. And I can turn over there and read it to you. But in Mark chapter 10 and in verse 29, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but that he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution and in the world to come eternal life. Now, if you read this in context, this is where he had just talking to the rich young ruler and he asked the rich young ruler to sell everything he had and give it to the poor and then come follow him. So this isn't limited to finances. It's talking about houses and lands and family and everything, but it certainly includes finances and it promises a 100-fold return in this life. Now, that's what the Word promises. And if I promised you, if you were standing here personally, and if I promised you and said, if you will give me any amount of money, I'll give you 100 times what you give back. Now, if I said that, if I had the resources to back up what I said, and even if you were in a critical financial situation, if you really believed me, if you really honored me and thought I was telling you the truth, you would be absolutely crazy not to give to me, even if you needed it. You would punch your neighbor and say, look, I don't have any money right now, but if you'll give me $10, I'll pay you back $20. Because if you give $10 to me, I'd promised you $100. And so that would be a 100-fold on that. And so that would be $1,000. You could pay that person you borrowed it from back $20, and you'd still be $980 better off. You would be crazy not to do that kind of a deal. The only reason you wouldn't do it, even if you were in a crisis situation, or let me say, especially if you were in a crisis situation, you ought to do something like that because that's the way you get out of a crisis. If you really believed that I could do that, that I would do it, that I had the resources to do it, if you really believed me, I guarantee you, you would do a deal like that. That you would be crazy not to do it. Likewise, God has promised a 100-fold return in this life. And yet there are Christians who will sit there and say, but I just can't afford to do it. That's because you don't believe it's going to come back to you. You don't believe the promise of God that when you give, it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. You can whitewash this any way you want to. You can try and dress it up. You can talk about how serious your need is. But the bottom line is, if you truly believe that the Word of God was true, if you truly honored God's Word and believed it more than what your bank account says, more than what your bill collector says, more than anything, if you truly believed, you would take a deal like this. The bottom line is, if you aren't giving, you are not honoring God. You do not really trust His Word on finances because He has promised that when you honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of your increase, that is the way that your barns get filled with plenty and your presses burst out with new wine. That's the way to abundance. And there's many scriptures that say this. I'm going to go through scripture after scripture after scripture that just make this same point. But you can whitewash this. You can try and explain it any way you want to. I cannot see any other reason for a person not to give than the fact that you do not believe God is really going to prosper that back to you and that you're going to be better off. You are seeing your money leaving your life instead of becoming a seed where it enters into your future and it grows and multiplies. You aren't seeing it through faith. You're seeing it through unbelief. You're seeing yourself being diminished by giving instead of increased by giving. And that's the way that it is in the natural. But since there is a God who does observe what we do and has promised us that when we give, that's when prosperity will come our way, that He will supernaturally cause finances to come to us. And He's promised a 100-fold return on everything that we sow in faith. Since that's true, the only reason that a person does not give is because you do not trust the Word of God. I know that there's many of you that are just shell-shocked right now because you, in your own mind, have excused your not giving. And you say, well, I'm desperate. When I get more, then I'll become faithful and I'll do this. That's really not true. If you aren't faithful with a little, you'll never be faithful with a lot. You'll never get to a place of abundance. Not through God, without learning this lesson of giving. I'm out of time, but I will continue this on our program tomorrow, and I encourage you to listen in as we continue to talk about your partnership in the kingdom and how it works.
Andrew and Jamie Womack would like to invite you to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder. Foundation builders are a special group of ministry partners that contribute financially, providing a firm foundation for building the lives of Charis Bible College world changers and making disciples who will carry the almost too good to be true news of God's love and grace around the world. Phase 1 has been funded and completed, and Phase 2 is now gearing up. Discover how you can help change lives by logging on to www.awmi.net/partnership. Change your life. Change the world. Invest yourself in Charis Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries today.
I had been looking for the more in my life, and someone had given me a teaching tape of Andrew's and had shared another church with me who was also a Charis Bible College affiliate up in Fort Collins. So I began to listen to Andrew's tapes, and seeing that Andrew had the more, was teaching the more that Jesus said we would be doing, the greater, raising the dead, healing the sick, opening blind eyes. So I began to listen to Andrew's tapes, and then I was diagnosed with cancer. So I got every tape that I could, and it was just feeding my belief and starving my unbelief with the Word of God, with Andrew's teachings. He prayed for me just a simple prayer, commanding the cancer to leave my body. I went in for the surgery. I was probably about a week and a half, 2 weeks later. The doctors called me the very next day, which is unusual, and said, "Connie, we don't know what happened. All the cancer was gone." Of course, my husband and I rejoiced, and I said, "I know what happened." Cancer was the big sickness that came upon me, but not bigger than a cold for me anymore.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the UK this week for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 27th through the 30th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for a Better Way to Worship Conference, June 15th through the 17th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th, and in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 4th through the 6th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Andrew's complete teaching series titled Financial Stewardship is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The sixth audio teaching in today's series is also available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this sixth teaching titled Your Partnership in the Kingdom, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I tell you, people need to know the Lord loves the believer and his disciples.